upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. That's power, sisters and brothers. And he said, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. There's power, sisters and brothers. Verse 4, it said, and God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the dark. That's power, sisters and brothers. Trust him today. He got all power. Our little problems is nothing. Trust God with them. Put everything in his hand. Let him lead and guide you today. Let's go to verse 5. He said, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. That's power, right? That's power. That's, let us know. He got all powers in his hand. So we're able to trust God. So when you get in doubt, when you feel that you have no one you can trust, you can trust God. Oh, he's a company keeper. He a mind regulator. He's everything you need to put your life in order if you surrender your life to him. Give it all to him. Give everything to the Lord. Look at David when he was running from Saul, when Saul was wanting to kill David. Do you know nothing but God kept David? Imagine somebody wants to kill you, and you right there can do it to them, but you don't. Nobody but God kept David, because David kept looking to the hills. From which come his help. He looked up and no. His help come from the Lord. Sustain him. Sustaining him. I'm going to read Psalm 123 to y'all, verse 1. Unto thee lift up my eyes, O thou dwellest in the heavens. I keep looking to the hills from which come my help. Because I know one thing, the Lord. Psalm 121:8. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth forever and forevermore. Trust God today, saints of God. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your word today. Father God, touch somebody right now. Touch the people of God, Father. Strengthen them, Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, we lift you up today because you said in your word, if you be lifted up, you'll draw all men. Father, we lifting you up today, right now, in the name of Jesus. Touch, Father, heal, deliver. Father, someone is racking in pain right now. We asking God that you heal them right now. Father, right now, touch and heal in the name of Jesus. And we be so careful to give you all the praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Until we meet again, I come back on the air and talk about getting to know Jesus. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you for tuning in today to the Getting to Know Him broadcast with Pastor Elvira Brevel of the Trinity Missionary Baptist Church of Alexandria, Louisiana. To correspond with Pastor Brevel or to send a love offering, go to $ShalondaNobles. That's $ShalondaNobles. Be sure to tune in for the next Getting to Know Him broadcast.
KAYT, Shreveport Greenwood, 92.5.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Magazine. Stay tuned and focused, and let words of life minister to you by our pastor, Altonio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Amen. 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 Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you. We give you glory and honor, and we praise you, Lord, for you've been good to us. Lord, regardless of how we've acted and behaved and what we've done, you've still been good. So good, Lord God, that we can't tell it all. You've been better to us than we can be to ourselves. And Lord, we ask you that you would help us to do better. Help us to understand your word. Help us, Lord, to understand your will and to stay in your way. Father, we ask you now that you would touch every heart and every mind, every soul, every spirit, everybody today, Lord God, and cause them to soak up what you have to say. Let us hide your word in our heart that we might not sin against you. Father, we ask you now in Jesus' name that you would give me clarity of thought and precision of speech. And let me speak the words of the Spirit. Let my tongue be as the pen of a ready writer. Let the hearts of the hearers be the tablet in which I shall write upon. The word of faith, the word of God, that will bring healing to them, that will bring fruitfulness, deliverance, peace, and prosperity, and all that comes from knowing you. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you that you've sent your only begotten Son, that he died for us, and that he rose again on the third day. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father, for the word. We thank you for the spirit and the blood that covers us. We thank you, Lord. And Father, we will be careful to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise as we believe that your deliverance, your power, your peace, your liberty, your salvation is present even now. And we've received it. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for all that you've given. And we will join in with the many-winged seraphim and the many-eyed cherubim that chant and declare one to another that you are holy. You are holy, God. You are holy. We ask these things in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Praise God for today. Praise God for what the day is going to bring us. Amen. Thank God for the word. In the name of Jesus. I want to look at the book of Psalms. And we're going to look at Psalm number 1. Amen. Amen. And this is your title. It's your choice to bear fruit or be a failure. It's your choice to bear fruit or to be a failure. It's a new season. It's a new day. A fresh anointing flowing my way. I got a new season. The old season passed. And you know, that season was good while it lasted. I got enough to carry me through the other seasons. But now I got another season coming that I'm going to be more productive this season than I ever was in my life. You need to be able to say that about yourself. Come on and say, I'm going to be more productive in my season than I've ever been in my life. Oh, I wish I had somebody here. Oh, yeah, he says, and his leaf shall not wither. We need to know that God won't let us wither away. He won't let us be destroyed because of the drought. We may be in a place where there's no rain, there's a drought, but thank God that I'm planted and I'm watered by the word. Somebody need to say yes in here. I'm watered by the word. The word of God waters my life. But not only does the word water my life, but the word washes my life. I wish I had somebody. And so Jesus tells us in John chapter 15, you are clean by the word that I speak. And by the washing, by the water of the word of God. We need to know that the word brings life. And when you bring life in the word, you produce fruit that has seeds. Amen. The reason Adam and Eve got in trouble is because they went after a tree that God said don't touch that had no fruit, no seed in it. Amen. We gotta get away from wanting to be seedless people. We like seedless grapes, seedless watermelons. Come on and say amen. We gotta get away from that because we don't want to be bothered with the seed. I wish I had somebody. But what we need to know is that the seed is so important. It's so important to have a seed because if you got a seed, then you got something. If you got a seed, there's no telling how many trees you can get out of one seed. There's no telling how many fruit you can get out of one seed. You may know how many apples are on a tree, but you don't know how many trees are in an apple. I wish I had somebody, because there are seeds inside. So we got to understand that we got to produce seed for fruit. Amen. Our fruit has to have seed on the inside. And so when our fruit produces, it produces because God gives us the ability to produce. And we take that fruit and that seed, and even if that seed lays on, you got to look at this, a seed that lays on a shelf for 10 years is still a seed. And you know what? It doesn't do anything because it's laying on the shelf. But if you take that seed and the hour that you put that seed in the ground, I think I talked about this Thursday, the hour that you put that seed in the ground, it starts to break apart. Lord, help me, the Holy Ghost here. Yeah, we got to see here that the moment you put it in the ground, it starts to absorb the moisture from the soil, and it begins to break the shell. Come on and say amen. And it starts to get a root, and then it starts a blade going up. It starts to go down, and it starts to go up. I wish I had somebody. And so in 24 hours, it's already growing. And all I'm saying is that if a seed, a natural seed, can do that, imagine what the Word of God can do for you. I wish I had some help today. Oh yeah, we need to know that the when it begins to germinate, when it begins to grow, when it begins to bust out, it is already knowing the mission. Amen. A seed knows what it's designed to do. That as soon as I get in the soil, it's already time for me to start breaking. Oh, Lord, help me today. I'm trying to tell somebody something in a way. Well, let me tell you what I'm trying to say. You may have been lying dormant. You may have been away. You may have been separated. But I'm telling you now, if you can just get in the right place. Oh, yeah, the seed of the word already knows what it's going to do. Oh, yeah, if you're in a place that you hadn't been getting any word, amen, you need the water of the word to water your seed, grab the moisture so that your seed on the inside, the word of God, it won't fail. The Bible says that he sent his word to prosper you. The Bible says that his word will not return void. And so the little bit of seed of the word that you got when you was 5 and 6, when you understood Jesus Christ at the age of 12, whatever it was, you need to get in a place where the water can water your seed so that it can begin to grow and you can begin to produce what God said for you to produce. I don't know any other easier way to say it. But he says, and whatsoever you do it shall prosper. Look at the prosperity of the one who's planted by the river. He said, whatsoever. He didn't say a few things. Whatsoever. I mean, now some people have been saying, I don't know if that's what God wants me to do. Now I'm going to go out on a limb and say this. Contrary to what many people say, well, you know, you got to be right on target. God said, whatever. Now, you may miss and not do the thing that he wanted you to do at the time he wanted you, and you did something else. And if you did something else, guess what? It's going to prosper. Let me give you a good example. Joseph, his father's son, he prospered. Had a dream, got put in the pit, became a slave. But guess what? He prospered as a slave. Then he got sold into Potiphar's house. He prospered at Potiphar's house. Then he got into prison, and guess what? He prospered in prison. Then he went to the palace, and he prospered at the palace. All I'm saying is that whatsoever, let's look at Jacob. Jacob dug a well. The people who he dug the well in the land that the people didn't want, when they saw that he found water, they went and took the well from him. Went somewhere else, dug another. Guess what? He kept on digging. Every time they take it, he said, I'll just move over here and dig again. And whatever and wherever he dug, he found water. All I'm saying is that whatever you do is going to prosper. But you got to have faith in God. You got to have a word from the Lord that whatever I do, Lord, you said it, whatever I do is going to prosper. I wish I had somebody here. You don't need to be afraid to do some things. Don't be afraid to step out on faith. Don't be afraid to try something else. Don't be afraid to do something nobody else has done. Go ahead and do it, or maybe nobody in your family ever done it. Maybe it's some people around you that are saying, I don't know, that might be kind of tough to do. But whatsoever he do it. Didn't say might. Read it. Say shall. That's without a shadow of a doubt. Shall. That's without a shadow of a doubt. Shall means that God is going to appoint it to happen because you're planted. God is going to appoint it to happen because you delight in his word. See, now that's it. That's the prerequisite of it. You got to delight
in his word, and you got to be planted by the river. Help me, Holy Ghost. You got to do those things before you can become fruitful. Some of us, we don't abide in his word. He said, if ye abide in me, John chapter 15, and my word abide in you, ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Then he says, let's look at verse 4. He says, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. The ungodly are not so. They are not like those that are planted by the river. The ungodly won't prosper. The ungodly won't hold a certain position. That reminds me of all, you know, the world today. We know what's right, but we won't hold a position. We change our mind, President. We change our mind by what we believe because of something. I wish I had somebody. He said, but the ungodly are not so. They don't delight in the law of the Lord. They don't care about the word and what the word of God says. I don't care. I don't care what the word says. I know. Oh, you're in trouble then. He said, the ungodly are not so. You can tell if you got God in you, because God in you will go toward what is like God. God is his word. Amen. He said they shall, he says they are not so. They are like the chaff. You know what the chaff is? The chaff is a hull. A hull that the wheat is, that's wrapped around the wheat. It's the shell, basically. Amen. And so what happens is they take the wheat after they harvest it, and they take it up on a hill, and they begin to spread it out, and they let an animal, most of the time it's going to be on the threshing floor, is either a wheel or is an animal or an ox that pushes it around, and it crushes and breaks the outer shell, which is the chaff. And then they throw it up in the air, toss it up, and the wind blows. And the good wheat, it stays. It comes right back down in its place. But the chaff is blown away. And so what he's saying here that the ungodly are like the chaff which the wind drives away. That's why so many people say, I'm drove right now. Because you don't have nothing, no weight about you. When I talk about weight, I'm talking about the glory of God. It's a weight. It'll hold you down. You don't have no word. Because it does. It does what? It holds you down. It keeps you in a position. It keeps you anchored. My soul is anchored. He said, be steadfast and unmovable. That's okay. That's good preaching, even if I talk to you. He says that the wind drives the chaff away. And so all I'm saying is that the outer shell, that stuff on the outside, the temporal stuff, that's not the good stuff that we need. Amen. The stuff on the outside. Amen. But what's on the inside is what God wants. He wants your spirit. He wants your soul. So that's what he really wants. He said, but the ungodly, they think that it's all about what's on the outside. Oh, my God, today. I would go deep into that. But he says the chaff, he said the wind drives it away. Everything that somebody say, everything that every word, every wind, every doctrine, it takes them for a loop. It blows them off track. I wish I had somebody. Oh, yeah, what you heard messed you up. Lord, help me today. Oh, yeah, I'm not going to be blown away by the wind when it blows. Amen. It brings us to a place of harvesting and separation. There's a separation at some time. We need to separate the flesh things from the things of the spirit. The Bible says that the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder soul from spirit, bone from marrow, and is a discerner of the intent of the heart. There needs to be a separation somewhere. Amen. In our life, there needs to be a separation of carnality and spirituality. Come on and say amen. That needs to be a separation. Amen. And so the Holy Spirit, the wind, the breath of God will separate you from those who walk in the chaff. Those who live after the chaff. They just want the shells. Amen. He said the chaff is really no good. You can't take the chaff and make food from the chaff. You got to get what's on the inside of it. Amen. You can't make bread from the chaff. Amen. You can't use it for food. You can't use it, amen, until you break it off and cast it away. So basically, it's worthless. All the stuff that we're trying to do for this flesh is worthless. Amen. The flesh actually is our enemy. But look how we treat him. We clean him up. We perfume him up. Oh, come on. We cut him up. Come on. We curl him up. We make him up. Come on and say amen. And we live in it, and we do everything to please the flesh. And God is saying that I'm really after the inside. But if your inside is good, if your inside right, you'll produce the fruit that you need to produce. You can tell a tree by the fruit it bears, because look at here, the fruit that's being bare is fruit of goodness and grace and prosperity. Come on and say amen. Oh yeah, but then he said the chaff which the wind drives away, therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor the sinners in the congregation of the righteous. We got to see here that he talks about, in those verses, he talks about the flourishing and the fruitfulness of the believer, but then he talks about the frustration of the wicked. The wicked are frustrated because they're blown away. They have no place to stay. They're not wanted. Amen. They're not wanted by God. Amen. Because of their position and who they are. I wish I had somebody. God can't use them because they're so wicked. Amen. But we got to see something here. Is he says that the ungodly, verse 5, standeth not in the judgment. Amen. Nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. And so when we look at that, we look at the final end to this thing. We understand that at the end, when there's a harvesting and a separation, that the ungodly don't have a leg to stand on. The ungodly can't talk about I did this or I did that. The ungodly can't say I won souls for the Lord. The ungodly don't have a testimony that I once was lost and now I'm found. The ungodly, all they can say is that I've been bad all my life and I'm still bad. Oh yeah, I was a sinner and I died a sinner. Come on and say amen. But the godly, he said, even the sinner in the congregation of the righteous. You wonder why people don't want to be in your company, is because you're of the congregation of the righteous. You don't have to do anything for people not to like you. David said in Psalm 69, he said, I'm hated without a cause. He said, there are so many of them that they are more than the hairs of my head. I got so many of them that are against me, and they don't even have a reason to be against me, because you are in the congregation of the righteous. And since I'm of the congregation of the righteous, the sinners don't want to be with me, because all I talk about is the Lord. Why is that? Because all I meditate on is the word. All I delight in is in the law of the Lord. And since that's my delight, that's where I put my attention, and that's where all my affection is, the sinner don't want to have nothing to do with me, because I don't want to talk about what he wants to talk about. He don't call or text me no more, because I don't want to do what they want to do and go where they want to go. They just kind of left me alone. I don't know about you, but I've been there. When God first pulled me out of the world, I decided I didn't want to go some places, didn't want to do some things. And I didn't have to turn away from my friends. My friends turned away from me. They said, ain't no need in going by there. He reading that Bible and he going crazy. I don't want to hear all that God talk today. I'm trying to get my high. They didn't want to hear what I had to say. They want to pick a fight and argue with me, because I decided that I didn't want to get high no more. I decided I didn't want to be drunk no more. I decided I didn't want to club no more. So they said, we ain't got nothing for you, bruh. And I said, that's all right, because the Bible said, and I stood on the promises of God. He said, if anybody give up his mother, father, brother, a friend, or anything for my sake, you shall gain. Come on and say, man, 100-fold. And as I look around in Living Word this morning, I gained some folks. I lost about 4 or 5 people, but I gained, oh, come on and say amen. I gained so many people that I can't even count them. And so all I'm saying is that the sinner can't stand in the congregation of the righteous. He can't be where you are. He can't take the position that you take. That's why you can't say, I don't understand what they don't understand. I can't understand why they do what they do. And the reason why is because you're not a sinner. Because you understand the word of God. You got hope in God. Then he said that, and then he says in verse number 6, he said, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Look at the finality of this thing. The grand finality is that God has a plan for the good, and he has perishing for the bad. I wish I had somebody here. He said, the Lord know the way of the righteous. The Lord knows the way of the righteous. He knows the end of the righteous. He knows where you're headed. And guess what? He knows where you are now. And And so he knows what to do to get you where you need to be. And what we got to learn how to do is trust the Lord, that the Lord knows what he's doing. The Lord knows you've been sick, and so he's given a word to heal you. The Lord knows they lied on you. You ain't got to get on your knees and say, Lord, they're talking about me. He already know what they said. And so he gives you a word, and they say, why are you paying attention to what they said? What about what I said? I said that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord shall deliver him from them all. What are you worried about what they say? I said that you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Can I get a witness, anybody? Do you worry about what people say? I don't have time to worry about what they say. I don't have time to worry about what they heard. But what I need to pay attention to is what God said. He said he'll make me the lender and not the borrower. He'll make me the first and not the last. Oh, come on and say amen. He'll make me rich and not poor. He'll make me the head and not the tail. Oh, come on and say amen. He make me live so that I might not taste the death. Oh, come on and say amen here. He'll make me fruitful. He'll make me prosperous. He'll make the barren to bear fruit. I wish I had somebody. He'll make you have food when you had none at first. Oh, come on and say amen. He'll make you blessed going in and blessed going out. You'll be blessed in the city and blessed in the field. Your storehouse will be blessed. Your fruit of your womb will be blessed. In other words, my children blessed. I feel like David, who said, I've been young and I've been old, but never have I seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Can I get a witness here? I don't recall if I have to beg for anything. I don't recall having to ask somebody, please, would you give me a little this, a little that? But I believe it was because of the family. Come on and say amen. I had some righteous folks. They may not have been right in some people's eyes, but God looked down through the years, and because I'm the seed. Oh, come on and say yes. Let me tell you about your seed. The Bible says that when Abraham paid tithes, it was like Levi, who was on the inside of Abraham, paying tithes to Melchizedek. So when Levi was born, the boy didn't have to work. The boy didn't have to get a field and grow any crops. His dedication was to the Lord. Do you know that you're of the Levi tribe? You're supposed to be a priesthood. I wish I had somebody. You don't have to work hard for it. God makes a way for you. He make people bless you when they don't want to. When they want to curse you, God said they can't look over you this time. They may have looked over you once or twice, but God said there he is. It's his time now. It just wasn't my season, but my season is now. Do I have a witness here? And what you do now will directly affect the soil of your children. And so what I do now, if I'm a giver now, if I'm a sower now, my children don't have to worry because God will protect them. God will bless them. Say yes. He said that the way of the Lord, the way of the righteous, that the Lord know it, but the ungodly shall perish. When we look at the word perish, it means to cease to exist. It means to be destroyed. We've been worried about the wicked and what all they have to do and what all they have achieved. I'm not worried about the wicked. I'm not worried about the ones who try to profane the name of God, the ones who mock God, the ungodly, the scornful mockers, the blasphemous people who try to desecrate what God has done, who try to say there is no God, because I got words for him. I got news for him. You may not believe he's a God, but I know he's a God. I know he's the only God, the only wise God, the only living God. I know he lives. I know he lives. Well, how do you know he lives? Because one Wednesday night, he rose up in my life. One Wednesday, praying. I was at a revival. Reverend Washington was preaching. I had already decided that I make Jesus my choice. I said, I can't wait till he start to close, because when he give me his hand, I'm not going to sit here. I'm going to take my position in front of the church and say, I want to be saved. Do I have anybody that say, I know that the Lord lives because he lives in me? Say yes. Don't God live? If God was dead, how come they didn't notify me?